Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
Two parts fandom, okay? And it probably sucks. I just want you to know, because mine sucks. A lot of you suck out there, obviously, according to the guy with two first names. So, a guy asked me here because I mentioned, are you a Gorillaz fan? Right? They're pretty cool. I like them. I think they're groovy. They only have they've announced 14 dates worldwide.
Okay.
We have one of them. So, a guy sends me a text and says, hey, I want to go to Gorillaz, but it's the same night as Dolphins Steelers. So I go to him, dude, record the game, go to the concert. You'll enjoy both. Your life will be the same. Don't worry about it. A few years back, you remember the Notre Dame-Miami game?
Which one?
Notre Dame-Miami.
The recent one.
Okay. I know we're old and we're thinking like real Notre Dame-Miami games. No, not the real
ones.
The fluff one of a couple of years ago.
Okay, yes.
That night, I remember I was going to Buckingham and McVie. That they came out with an album and then they were going to Hard Rock. And I go, dude, I'm not missing those two because I've seen all versions of Fleetwood Mac. I've seen the solo Lindsay, the solo Stevie, and now I get to see Buckingham and McVie together. I'm like, oh, dude, I got to see this. Mm-hmm. I'll record the UM, which was a memorable game and all that, but I watched it when I got home. My God, I was able to see everything, dude, with the DVR. It's a beautiful thing. Anyway, so some guy with two first names gets on there and says, we're bad fans. If you don't watch the game live, it's just not worth it already. It's just not the same anymore. And to me, it's like, you know, I had to have some fun with that because I find that to be utterly ridiculous because you can't record the concert. Okay, okay. Dude, you can record, you know, you're going to have a wedding during the same game of a game. You're going to have to go to your kid's graduation or something during a game. You're always going to have some conflict at one point or another in life. So what do you think of the person that tells you You're not a good fan if you don't see it live and you've got to sacrifice it for everything else?
Now, I'm curious. Do I know that person with two first names?
No. It's just the listener there that just...
Okay.
I'm just having fun. The guy has two first names, so I just like...
Yeah, no. And I think I said this before on your show, actually. The one, like one of the handful of Dolphin games I haven't seen live in 33 years was because I went to see a Rush concert at Coral Sky Amphitheater, whatever it's called these days, but I think it was Coral Sky back in the day. Dude, they play 16 games a year, and you're watching the game is not going to affect the outcome. Spoiler alert. So,
right.
Yeah. It's, right. Okay, it's okay for there to be other things than the one game that week. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah. What tour was it, by the way?
It was 1996. I don't know. I have no idea what tour.
Okay. All right.
December 1996, the Dolphins were playing the Giants. And they lost, I think, maybe 1914, I want to say.
Right.
But it was that year.
Why am I thinking, what's that? God, now I'm brain farting. But I think I know which is the album, actually. That, why am I thinking something Red or something? Not Red Barrichetta.
Yeah,
let me see.
I'm not a huge enough Rush fan that I remember. This was with a lady I was frequenting at the time. I think she may have been the one who had the ticket.
As for Echo Tour.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're told.
That might have been your, well, that's 96.
There you go.
That's it. There you go.
Cold as hell, that I remember. It was unpleasantly cold. That's what I remember the most about the concert, to be honest with you.
Where was this concert at?
Coral Sky Amphitheater, whatever name it went by those days.
And wow, it was that. Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was unpleasantly cold.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, all right, good stuff. All right, let's get to a little Dolphins. What'd you think of the Melvin Ingram signing?
Love it. Absolutely love it. and we had discussed it before. This is a guy, they kicked the tires on the guy for a while now, even last year before he signed with the Steelers. This year they brought him in. I don't remember when it was, about a month ago. So you always knew it was out there. And look, I don't care what his numbers said last year. I know I saw him in the playoffs, and you could feel him big time. I mean, he was affecting the game, and that's what you want from an edge defender, pass rusher, even if the sacks aren't there. And there are guys who will collect sacks who don't necessarily affect the game as much as somebody who, again, is always rushing the quarterback, hurrying his throws and stuff like that. So, no, I think it's an excellent pickup. I don't know. I haven't seen dollar amount on it. I can't imagine it's a huge amount.
It's not any kind of money.
What I would imagine.
Nobody is signing for the kind of money now that is going to cripple your cap. Let's put it that way. Even if J.C. Tretter signs, it will be a contract that they can easily get out of and will not have a cap hit next year of any kind of significance.
Correct. No, and you're figuring them sign for 1 year or so.
Right.
No, it's a very, very solid move, and it adds, again, more depth to that defense, another quality player to what has the potential of being a very good defense. So there's nothing not to like about this move. I can't imagine anybody would have any issue whatsoever with this move.
Yeah, I almost got the feeling last year, because I don't think they really used him as much, I almost got the feeling that Kansas City was getting him more for somebody else not to get him as they were trying to make a run for a championship, because I don't even know if they used him as much as they could have actually last year. You know what I'm saying? So I almost felt like it was a luxury signing in the first place for them last year. As for Miami, I actually think they can use him in the rotation and keep everybody a little fresher too.
Correct. No, he's a rotation guy. I honestly can't speak to that. I don't remember. I haven't checked his snap percentage stat. I do remember that I noticed him big time in the playoffs. That really stood out to me, and I was like, damn, that dude can still play. So no, again, there's a very good pickup. And if it turns out that he's run out of gas at some point, again, it's not a major investment they made. So I don't see how anybody cannot like this move.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, what'd you think of the Tretter stuff that's being talked about? That maybe there's some buzz going on, but some people also think that he may not sign here because of the heat and humidity and all that other stuff. So what the hell are we hearing here when it comes to that?
He might not sign here because of heat and humidity. I have never.
Somebody put out that the heat and humidity of South Florida is not his favorite thing to be working out in.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Was that a reputable source?
I don't know. Somebody sent that in. I don't even know if that's a reputable source or not.
No,
I have no idea.
What I was told about Tretter, and which would jibe with him not signing right away, is, again, he's had some knee issues, and he doesn't need the wear and tear of working through the offseason program if he doesn't have to. And he doesn't really have to, because he's an established veteran. So why would he be in a hurry to sign? There'll still be a demand for him, I would imagine, before the start of training camp. So which is when I think a move with him would be done, whether it's with the Dolphins, whether it's somebody else. And my expectation remains that the Dolphins are going to get a feel for what they have at center, if they can get by with what's currently on the roster, whether it be Michael Dieter, whether it be Connor Williams making the switch from left guard, and then decide, okay, we're fine with what we have, or no, let's make a move for Tretter.
I love that they're doing the joint practices again. They're going to do it with Tampa. Obviously, they play them in the preseason, so that's a beautiful thing that they're going to do that once again. Your thoughts on that? Because to me, that becomes more productive than anything else you do pretty much throughout training camp.
Yeah, no question. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least. In fact, I would expect it. And I'm told it's actually been discussed about doing joint practices with the Raiders as well. That's the second season game, August 20th. And look at it this way.
Wait a minute. Where is that game?
That game is here at Hard Rock Stadium.
Sean. I thought we had another excuse to go to Vegas. Sorry,
trust
Sean.
Me, I thought about that too, because I will go travel for the joint practices. Not two of their three preseason games. No, get the stat that I dug up.
And in Vegas, joints are legal too. I'm sorry. Go. I'm sorry.
We digress. Sorry, joint practice. Yeah, it's good that joint practices are legal. No, check out this stat. This is the first time since 2001, 21 years, the Dolphins have faced a team in the preseason that's more than a time zone away. So normally,
That's right, because they play in the, they usually play right in their southeast corridor.
It's Tampa Bay, it's New Orleans, it's Atlanta, it's
Carolina, maybe Dallas, maybe Tennessee has been snuck in once in a blue moon or something like that. But God, it's always the southeast corridor, bro. So always, you're right about that.
Holy and shit. I can't imagine the Raiders wouldn't want.
Yeah, they can't be happy with that, right? Yeah, because the Dolphins don't care in this case because you're coming to us. But for the Raiders, that's got to suck, dude.
Well, this is why I was told it's in the works. Even before that, it's made all the sense in the world for the Raiders and Dolphins to practice together. I mean, partly justify their trip.
Right. Yeah. So they could come down extra days, hang out all week. Definitely. Okay. All right.
And as far as fully, now,
is there an agreement to keep all Raiders away from automobiles during the week?
Why am I not surprised you're going there?
I'm sorry, bro. I saw a plane on fire on a bridge over the weekend. I don't need to see any more Raiders lighting people on fire. So I'm just saying, bro, you know, they have an issue there with DUIs and stuff. You know, I'm just saying we got to, you know, negotiate.
Can never be too careful.
Uber drivers for all. Lyft drivers for maybe we'll call it the Uber week matchup or something. And,
Uber
you know,
ball.
You
can get Uber, Uber to be a,
yeah, Uber ball of the, yeah, you know, Uber and ball. Sponsor and. They could drive Raider players around since Raider players can't drive themselves. So your thoughts on the transaction of Ty Clary, who failed the physical, and Cole Benoit, who was replaced by him, a journeyman. Do you know anything about Cole?
Well, he wasn't totally a journey. I mean, he's been in the league 1 year. He was UDFA last year, bounced around two practice squads. My understanding was actually not a bad prospect coming out of Iowa, not necessarily like a starter type, but the type who could make a roster and could contribute as a backup. Again, UDFA player, let's tamper down enthusiasm for any of those guys.
Whether it's Zaquandre White,
I have a bunch of Twitter followers who are telling me Zaquandre White's going to be a complete stud on this team, on this offense. And to me, if he makes a 53-man roster, that'll be a major accomplishment. So, it's disappointing for Ty Clary. I mean, it's a guy who came in. This was one actually guy who had center experience.
But again, I don't have a lot of options at center. And that's like, okay, well, that was a little depth to see if that kid has anything in him. This kid's strictly a left and right guard, apparently, right?
No, correct. But again, Ty Clary was a long shot to make the roster by definition because he's a UDFA. And that applies to any UDFA, no matter how promising, no matter, regardless of whether they were supposed to get drafted. And that applies to Verone McKinley, the safety from Oregon, who was a big-time playmaker in college, whether it's Kellen Deesh, the tackle from Arizona State, who a lot of scouts and draft analysts liked a lot enough to say that maybe he goes in the fourth or fifth round. There's a reason they went undrafted. And again, if the Dolphins don't necessarily have a whole lot of openings on there, that 53-man roster, if you're going to start to look at it now, not a whole lot of room. So those UDFAs are going to have to be pretty good, pretty fast to make an impression and convince the coaches that they need to be put on the 53.
How good of a job has the front office done this year?
In your eyes? No, they have.
Because you grade it right down the line the way you see it. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm a tough grader, and I think they have
very.
They have basically filled out everywhere, upgraded. I don't know that there's a mini position. Is there a position on the roster that you would say is not as good as it was last year? I don't think so.
Oh no, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. It's not like they've taken a step back anywhere. They have tried to improve every area that they possibly can.
Yeah, if you want to get
center's the only one you can want to add depth if you want on that one, or challenge or something. That's about it.
Correct, and maybe a proven inside linebacker, but you got Channing Tindall in there. Maybe
and Roberts is a proven inside. I know he's more of a first and second down guy. Yeah.
Well, no, they flushed out the roster very well. They have set themselves up to be able to have a successful season if guys perform the way they're expected to perform.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, what are you working on at Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out and bookmark that page?
Yeah, a couple of things. One of my writers is going to do an analysis on Melvin Ingram and what he can bring to continue developing that story. I'm going to do something looking at some financial issues regarding the Dolphins, including the money allocated where. And then also I'm going to update the ranking, the offseason moves, and see where we're going to fit Melvin Ingram in there. And I think I'm going to put him fairly near the top, not necessarily at the top, but he'll be in the top half. Definitely.
The Dolphins have enough money that somebody will get rewarded here this season with a extension. Who is that going to be?
If we're talking this, if we're talking during the season,
In the second half of the season, okay. I believe somebody is getting an extension.
Off the top of my head, the guy who jumps out is Christian Wilkins, because he's headed into his fourth year. If Tua balls out, he'll definitely be a candidate for an extension next offseason. He can't get
still one more year. Still one more year. There's no hurry.
You can't get one during the season. But if he balls out, then his contract will be revisited next offseason. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Christian Wilkins is the one who really jumps out. I mean, I know they just give him the exercise option.
Wilkins, Needham, and then Gesicki.
I'd be surprised to see Gesicki get a long-term deal.
Again, we're three quarters of the season.
No, I understand.
He's a monster. He blew up. He fits perfect. Extension. Nick Needham blows up, has a great year, boom, extension. Christian Wilkins blows up, builds on what he's already done, actually, because he took another step forward last year. Yeah. He blows up and continues. I just think it's that order is what I'm saying. I'm with you. I'm Wilkins first, Needham second, then Gesicki would be my third guy. Anybody else? Are we missing anybody else?
Of those three, I have the same order that you. That's scary, actually. But I have the same pecking order that you do. Anybody else?
The other guys are down the line. Tua's down the line. Holland's down the line. Baker, they gave him his deal. I don't know. I don't know anybody else, dude.
Raekwon Davis. He has to the next offseason.
I'll give you one. I got one for you. Michael freaking Dieter, bro.
There you go.
If Michael Dieter balls out this year and all of a sudden grows up at center and three quarters of the year in, the guy's dominating, they have no, he's number one. He's number one.
Okay.
If he balls out, is what I'm saying. Right. Remember, all of these four guys we just mentioned, they must force this contract.
Correct.
I'm saying, right? Yeah, so there you go. So Dieter would be the other guy as a wild card that we're not even thinking of, because we're all replacing him every time.
No, correct. And because right now what we see him at, to me, is like at best solid, serviceable. Projecting like stud. And
everybody wants Treader, bro. Everybody keeps saying Treader. So that's what I'm just saying. Like Dieter comes in all of a sudden and tells everybody, hey, F you all. I'm here to dominate. I'm taking over. Three quarters of the year in, the Dolphins are going to go, holy shit, we better sign this guy right now, because if not, we're going to lose him.
Works for me. Yeah. That'd be a best case scenario, actually.
Yeah. No, that would be an amazing scenario for the Dolphins. But there you go. All right. So there's an article for you.
There you go.
How about that?
How about that?
All right. Follow him on Twitter at Poopard NFL. Oh, by the way, the NHL, bro.
Very disappointing.
Know your place, man.
Very disappointing.
Know your place, bro. Know your place, bro. You're not the NBA. You're not the NFL. You're number one team, the team that won the President's Cup. And you have put the, and the only team you have that has an NBA conflict. You have all your other teams are not involved in the NBA playoffs. This is how you screw your showcase team basically by putting them up against the NBA every night. Dude, NHL, know your place, dude. Learn how to promote your damn sport, man. God, I mean, could you be that dense to not really know and understand that? That's crazy by this league. It really is.
No, yeah, it's a shame. It's a complete shame. Because they lose out on the casual sports fan who wants to support the South Florida teams because they're going to watch the Heat, not the Panthers.
Dude, we have tickets left over for the damn Panthers. Do you know why? Because you're selling tickets for the same night for the Heat, bro. We're South Florida. We're not there yet. We're not New York and Chicago. We're not those kind of towns that our teams have been here for 80 years and they're entrenched and your Islander fans are your Islander fans and your Ranger fans are your Ranger fans. And if there happens to be a conflict, you have the people to fill both of those arenas. We're not that freaking town. Why do you put up the Panthers against the best franchise in town, the freaking Heat? Just NHL, dude. Figure it out, brother. God bless, man. Just sad. That's another article for you.
Should be a great series.
You won't write that one. Don't write that one.
No, I won't write that one.
NHL.com won't want that one, my buddy.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear that one. Nope. All right. Follow him on Twitter at PooPartNFL and catch his work there at Sports Illustrated covering the Miami Dolphins wall to wall. Alan, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
You got it. Speak to you on Thursday.
You got it. There you go. Sports Grill, baby.